Good morning, everyone. Today is the 26th of July, Sunday morning. I hope you all are having a good weekend. And the good Lord is with you today in a special way. Well, we're told in Scripture that He kept him as the apple of His eye. Kept him as the apple of his eye. I'm glad that God keeps his children and he sees us as the apple of his eye, aren't you? He shall choose out our inheritance for us. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with them. Deuteronomy 32:10-12 and Psalms 47:4. Well, as many of you know, we've been working through this book. God does not love everyone, but He does love His elect from everlasting to everlasting. That concept, from everlasting to everlasting, is quite a concept. He has never not loved us, and He always will love us. He has never not loved us, but He always will love us, because we're His children, and He will not cast His children off. We're ready for chapter 28. And we're going to be talking about the golden chain of salvation as well as other passages in Romans today. The golden chain of salvation. You know, the book of Romans is a doctrinal treatise on the sovereignty of God in salvation, not only in salvation, but sovereignty of God in all things, in creation, in redemption, in election, in predestination, foreordination, justification, and our final glorification. No other book in the Bible is more clear or more redundant regarding the subject of God's sovereignty and salvation. Paul begins by affirming that virtually all the events that he is addressing was foreordained by God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He's speaking of the Church of Rome here, not the Roman Catholic Church. The Christians at Rome, God had his elect at the original church of Jesus Christ in Rome. But that church eventually departed from the faith, did it not? Now the elect came out of her, guaranteed. The apostle then begins to talk about the gospel and shows in contrast to those who are reprobates and hold the truth in unrighteousness and serve the creature over their creator. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to uncorruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans 1, 15 through 32. Well, we see nothing has changed, has it? Nothing has changed. They still are doing those very things today. And we were, before we were born again by the Spirit of God, we were practicing those same kinds of things, were we not? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of his people. Apostle Paul also makes it clear that those who are true Christians are those who have been born again by the Spirit of God. And that their physical makeup is not relevant to their spiritual condition. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is he one that is that circumcised. Circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Romans 2:28 through 29. In the third chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul shows that both Jew and Gentile have not sought after God, and none are righteous, no, not one, and work circumcision in the law does not save. He shows that God's people have been freely justified by His grace through the blood of Christ. As it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, or they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. I'm going to read that one again. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which will justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Romans 3:10-31. The subject of imputation is discussed by the Apostle Paul in chapter 4 regarding the fact that God would not impute the sins to his elect, and that his elect would be imputed to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4:6-8 and 22-25. Most churches that uphold the free will doctrine deny original sin, which is clearly taught in the Bible. They say that man cannot be held responsible for the sin of Adam, and they can only be held responsible for their own actual sin. This is a lie and denies clearly revealed Scripture. Scripture also teaches that Christ brought eternal life to His people by His death on the cross, reconciling us to God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5, 1 through 21 and Romans 6, 23. Well, Romans 8 has often been described as containing the golden chain of salvation. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 28-39. One of the most hated and contested chapters in the entire Bible is the ninth chapter of Romans. Here Paul clearly lays out the unconditional election of God. He lays to the root the false doctrine of free will by pointing out that Esau and Jacob were yet in their mother's womb, having not yet committed any sin, and God hated the one, Esau, and loved the other, Jacob, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, O man, Who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles, as he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which were not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, they shall be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, Though the number of the children be of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was manifest in them that asked not after me. Romans 9:11 through 27 and Romans 10:20. Well, we've covered a lot of ground in a short order today, and I think I'm going to stop there today. We'll continue in this 28th chapter next week, tomorrow, God being in the matter. Just make a few comments on this. We see the purpose of God cannot be annulled or thwarted. That's what this is conveyed, Romans 1 through Romans 9. He purposefully had a plan before the foundation of the world, and he completed it. He had a people chosen before the foundation of the world, and they were eternally loved. And he went to the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary to pay for their sins. The Apostle Paul's focus was on Christ and him crucified. He told this beautiful story until they killed the Apostle Paul and he died. This should be our focus for our remaining days, to tell the wondrous story how Christ came to save. It's easy to get off track and focus on other things like baptism and fellowship dinners and how the choir sings. But there's nothing more important that the Christian should do than proclaiming that Christ is crucified and proclaim it to the world too. We cannot add to or subtract from the bride of Christ, but preaching the gospel like Paul should for us suffice. So let's not pretend we're proclaiming Christ and Him crucified if we are never telling the world that for sinners He did die. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory, honor, and power. Christ has put all things under His feet. Praise God for the mercy seat, or Satan would God's people devour. To think that Christ sits in glory interceding for me should give me enough reason to praise and honor the Son for dying on the cross. The work of salvation is done. So, again, the book of Romans is a tremendous doctrinal treatise on the sovereignty of God in redemption, in creation, in providence, and in all things. May the good Lord be with you this day, is my prayer. God bless.